And welcome to another episode of Knights at the Round Table. Tis your boy, Man Wheezy, and we are in the building.
Two is left. We have Queen, me, and then we have Bo
Princess, me,
and Be Real.
To the right.
When anytime I call you on the phone, B, and I tell Siri to call you, it's call Brandith Smith Smithy.
What?
Brandith Smith Smitty.
Yeah, Smithy.
Is that instead of Smitty?
Yeah.
That's weird.
Mine is Angela.
Pardon my mic. I think I have a little bit of a thing.
Still?
Nah, it's a little bit.
Is it mine?
No, it's probably me.
Is it me? That's a good question to ask.
Thank you. Leading into today's topic.
Leading into today's topic. First of all, we're not drinking anything important.
Hey.
Because it's the middle of the day.
Actually, Actually, thank you for translating my Australian to kind of Australian.
You guys, if you're watching us on YouTube, please hit like, please hit the bell and all that.
Smash, please, please, please.
Smash the button.
Smash that
shit. Speaking of smashing.
We're going to have this conversation. If you heard last week's episode, this is going to make a lot more sense. If you didn't, go back and watch it that this will be, not that you need one or the other, but it would be good. It would be good if you did.
Yeah.
It'd be good if you did. Because this week we are talking about the five questions you need to ask if you're thinking about getting into a serious relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm. And we all have different questions.
Right? Yeah. If you're currently in a situation where you're trying to see if it's going to be serious, if you're approaching it, or just for the future, if you want to know. Here are the five questions. So I'm going to let...
Oh.
Bo Bees, you want to start with yours?
Well, I would like to start with a story. Story time with Elise. Because...
Yay.
Is there a button for story time with Elise actually on here on the sound
button? A bunch of little kids.
I'd love
yay. I think there is one. Hold on.
No. What is it?
No,
yeah.
That didn't do
okay,
anything.
Okay.
Nope, yep. None of them worked.
Okay.
Never mind.
Okay, cool. So,
oh, baby, that's because you don't have the...
We just want to find a sound effect for story time with Elise, if that's okay.
Okay, this is salsa.
Love it. Mm-hmm. So, that makes sense.
Well, do this.
It goes with your new boyfriend.
Oh my gosh, I have a boyfriend. You guys remember? So actually... Great segue. Manny and I, how can we turn Salsa Lady off though?
It's off.
Okay,
it's
cool,
off.
Cool. Manny and I, this conversation kind of came from him asking me about like this new guy and like how it all happened. And as previously mentioned on Knights of the Roundtable, I tell people, I actually met him while I was
previously
speaking.
Previously on Knights
at the Roundtable.
She was speaking.
Watch us go 40 minutes without actually talking about one question. I met him while I was speaking at a conference. And so he had for like 3 days straight heard my story, but like the sermon illustration version of my story. So knew I was divorced, knew a lot of things about me, but as you know, didn't know like a lot of the details underneath.
Can we pause for a second?
Yes.
This is a women's conference that you're speaking at.
Yes.
Let's talk about how smart this man is to
for
volunteer
at a
women's conference.
You know what I mean?
Cheat codes.
Although
cheat
he did great. Codes. He didn't actually talk to me until I introduced myself to him. So
boss
well done
move.
On that. Well done on that. Oh my gosh. He's so cute. Should we show a photo of him? No. Elise,
no,
stop. That's not the point. So anyway, he had slid into my DMs. Oh.
On what platform?
And then
on Instagram?
On Instagram, okay. Yes. I don't understand what's happening with any other platform. So it's
Got
really
it.
Just Instagram.
Got it.
And I had definitely noticed him and was hoping he would. So I responded and we went. And then I got COVID, so didn't talk to him for a week, which is a really great way to play it cool. And then.
Because for those of you who don't know, you can catch it on the phone.
Yeah. Turns out what? Huh? Anyway.
You said you got sick and then you
didn't
talk to him.
She was sick. She was tired. She was recovering.
I guess that could be it.
I was, any other words?
Who wants to flirt while you're like half dead?
Show
yeah,
up.
Literally no one. Probably.
Love me at my worst. That sounds
yeah.
good.
Mm. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, for sure. I was sleeping. Anyway, so the next weekend I respond back. We go back and forth a couple of times and he had said something like, if you want to like, I like the Instagram version of your life story or the preaching version, but I want to know the real story. And I said, let me know if you have any ideas. And he hit me back with FaceTime. Sent me his number. to which I was like, oh my God, okay. I love it.
Let me put some makeup on. Hold on.
Here for it. And so we FaceTimed like the next day or something. And he was very quick to ask me some like very upfront questions that I'm not used to when it comes to dating. Now, he's from Argentina and I hear that they're like quite passionate people as well, yeah, and honest and upfront. I have had some practice with honest and upfront, like with Manuel.
Stop.
You know, I was like, okay, practice. Wow. But to me, it took me by surprise because, and at first I was a bit like, hey man, like, but I realized after a while, these are not bad questions that he's asking me. I'm just not used to it. I'm used to like the first five dates are just like flirting and seeing if someone's got a quick wit. How the heck does that help you? Like, yeah, in the long term, if then you get attracted and attached to someone only to find out you're completely opposite on everything that actually matters. Mm-hmm. So thank you so much for joining me for story time. Now he's my boyfriend. So obviously I answered them right. You know what I mean? At least there's no right answer. So my questions, or the ones he asked me, were like, he wanted to know like the full story behind my divorce and why that didn't end well, which I didn't tell him till he came out and visited me in real life.
That's how many phone calls had you had before then?
We had to like count them up because it was a lot of hours on FaceTime before he came out here.
So it was a lot of hours before you felt comfortable telling him your divorce story.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, I mean, it wasn't like in the scheme of things, I think it was about 2 weeks, 2.5 weeks.
Why is that?
That I didn't tell him. Oh my gosh, he's FaceTiming me. Should we answer it and ask him? No. Elise, put your phone away. Ridiculous.
Okay, the reason why I asked this is because I have another friend who's divorced and she was on like, I think the third date with a guy and he was like asking about her divorce and she was like, not yet. And I'm like,
well, I think third date.
When do you talk about it then?
For sure. For me, it was just this thing of like, when you come out here and tell me, we both were like, yeah, that makes sense. But I still like told him bits and pieces of it. Like,
I got to be honest. If I was into you, I would not want to wait.
Me either. I'm like, tell me today.
Nah, I want to know everything. Especially if I'm like,
that's why we're not good at
feeling
dating.
You.
Good thing we're married because we would be terrible.
Babe,
we had to
I'm
go
amazing
back out there,
at dating.
I would break all these new rules, whatever they are.
No, don't throw
but
me
no,
into
it. But
no,
but there are rules. And so that's the thing of like,
you would be terrible.
This is
I would
why,
be amazing.
No, but this is why I was like taken, like was off guard with it, caught off guard. Because to me, there is this kind of unspoken rule, like you meant to ease into it. But this guy does not
yeah.
ease in. And so he was asking me, he did also respect the fact that I said, okay, because we knew he was going to come out here. I was like, when you come out here, and he was like, that's cool. He's like, I understand that.
Yeah.
But he asked me on the very first like conversation we had, what was my 5-year plan? And I was like, excuse me, what is this, like a job interview? So I answer him with my very impressive answer and he goes, huh? And I was like, excuse me? Like, I'm very impressive.
You didn't just fall in love?
What? And he goes, no, no, no. I just find it interesting. And I was like, oh, crap.
That I'm not in that place.
Yeah. That you didn't talk about us at all. But he did say, you didn't mention family. Is that not something that you want?
Interesting.
And I hadn't even triggered that I didn't bring up family in my 5-year plan. I was kind of confused and caught off guard. Because I was like, oh, I mean, of course I want to be married and have kids. And he's like, oh, he's like, you just wasn't in, like, I'm curious. Like, is it really something you want? Because that's something I'm very, like, upfront about. I want to be married. I want to have a family. I want to have kids. And I realized it was something that I think subconsciously I thought, don't bring that up too early because you'll freak them out.
Right.
And so I actually started to appreciate his upfrontness and honesty. At one point he was like, hey, do me a favor. He's like, anything you would have previously done in like early days of dating, how about we just like, let's just do the opposite. He's like, if you want to text me, text me. He's like, if I want to call you, I'm going to call you. He's like, let's just try this. Let's just try being really, because he was honest about some of his past relationships too. So it was just refreshing at the end of it.
So that was question number two.
That was question, do you have a 5-year plan? Now, some of mine, I wouldn't necessarily ask the 5-year plan thing.
Right.
He's a dude. So I would like to know, do they have like long-term friendships or relationships?
Okay.
That would be a good reference as well. Because
ooh, that's good.
My last marriage, that's probably not the best way to say it. It's not like I haven't had five, but like
your first marriage.
That one. His relationships were all within a few years. Like had met people. I didn't really know anyone. And I don't think a mom counts.
Right.
You know, because
right.
she had to
be biased as hell.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So then I would like to know the what they would like see as the roles in relationships, speaking of the previously on, their roles in relationships, traditional, progressive, and what that word means to them.
Mm-hmm.
Love languages is a big one. Why their last relationship ended or their last serious relationship. Mm-hmm.
That's kind of a tricky one.
What?
Because they're going to fucking cheat. They're going yep. to paint themselves in the
That's
best
why you
way.
Want uh-huh. to know their long-term relationship so you can corroborate and like get the reference. Is that really what happened from a non-biased person?
Who the hell would you talk to?
Eventually, once you meet them.
when
you'd be like, hey,
late.
He told me that they were the worst human on the whole entire planet. And what I would look for isn't just the reason. It's are they taking responsibility for their part in it as well?
How they talk. Yeah.
How do they talk about them?
Being mature enough to know that in any relationship, if it fails, both people had something to do True. With it. If the guy or if the girl says something like totally just comes out and says, this is what I did, then you know you're dealing with a balanced individual.
And I want to know if they're like, oh my gosh, I'm actually still best friends with every single one of my ex and there's Hate. Never been any space. That Hate. To me is a huge red flag that I'm like, oh, Hate. No. No, 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 thank you.
Oh, sorry. I got yeah. triggered again.
Wow. Do you want to go to Ange now? Because I'd love to know what that was about. And my last thing, because of my previous experience, which I think some of these questions will come out of, is I want to know how someone's finances are. Mm-hmm. Not because I am a gold digger, because I think it speaks to a lot of other different areas.
It's the number one thing in their life. It's yep. the number one thing I want to know.
Okay. So that's mine. Thank you so much for listening.
Who, me?
Yeah.
I can read, because I asked Penster for hers.
Oh, then I'll do mine.
Yeah, you do yours.
I thought they were yours.
No. Okay. No, because I'm, yeah.
So, I also have finances/good with money on
twins.
Here because I think you're right. It says a lot about how responsible they are, wise they are, if they're going to be leading the ship. Like, what? How are you going to sink this ship? Like, what's you going to do?
Mm-hmm.
I think that's really good to know. Also, I know somebody who got married and this person was in debt because he put he got his ex-girlfriend fake boobs on his credit card and never paid it off. And so then this person had to pay for his ex-girlfriend's fake boobs because they got married.
Dang.
So she's paying off the debt. She's
they
paying
got
off
married?
The debt. Yeah, they got married.
Oh, my God.
And so she's helping That's pay rough. Down this debt. And it's for his ex-girlfriend's boobs that he got.
Dang.
Her. So
and she's
let's
like,
know
I wanted
about,
boobs, but right now.
She already has okay, good. Plenty boobs.
Good for her.
So I said, this is less of a question to ask, but I wanted to bring it to the table to ask, how is there a way to find out if this person is manipulative? Like, how do we do that? And I put meet their family, their friends, their coworkers, and see how they communicate with them. Like, how can we find no. out if this person is manipulative. I think the relationship, your friendships, how long have they been in your life could be a good indicator of that as well. I don't know. That was one thing.
Yeah.
Relationship with your parents and your family. What's that like?
Mm-hmm.
Is this guy a mama's boy? Is she forever going to be his number one and you're always going to come second to her? Do they have a terrible relationship? Does he not know how to treat women because his mom is abusive and whatever? Or does he know how to treat women because he has many sisters or whatever? Like what is his relationship like with, his parents, and his family and then children too, even though I know that can change when people want children or not, but for some it does not change. So if somebody is like dead set, no, I am not having kids, or I absolutely want loads of kids. Like that's something to be talked about. Yeah, those are my five things. And then my sister sent in a couple, but I'm just going to
ask for five. We got
15. She sent me 72. How do you communicate your needs? What's your communication style? I think that falls in line with your love language.
Mm-hmm.
How do you process when you're hurt or angry? Do you shut down? Do you get aggressive? Do you get loud? I think that's something Manny and I learned, is I shut down and he gets big And when I shut down, that's a sign of disrespect to him at first, because he didn't realize that that was my mechanism, was to shut down. So he was thinking like, oh, she's just like ignoring me, whatever. And so we had to learn that. And then he would get big and be like, oh my God, he's yelling at me. Oh my God, my dad. Oh my God, all the things. Mm-hmm. Still working on that one.
No, not the me getting big, because I don't get big anymore.
No. Still. Well, yeah. Even just when you get loud, when you whatever. Like the other day I was telling you, like, when you get angry, not at me, but like you stub your toe and you'll be like, fuck, and like get all crazy.
Yeah, but
that's
not at someone.
No, but that's what I was telling you.
I get the most mad at myself.
Is right, but you exude this rage that comes out, and I immediately go to childhood, and I would, like I said, I would see my dad. He like, we had these doors that would swing like this. One of them hit him in the face one time and he punched him off the walls in front of us kids, and we're all sitting there like waiting for our turn to get punched. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like that stuff is like triggering. Yeah. So it's learning different personalities like that. But love language is a really good one. And where do you see yourself in the future?
2 points for love language. Okay, cool.
And how do you envision your role as man of the house?
That's crazy, because I was on mine. All right, I'm going to read mine. And while I'm doing this, we need to pick one or two of each person's, and then we throw it to the table and actually answer it.
Okay.
For me, finances are number one. Are you in debt and why? Because I fully believe
that. Have you paid for someone's boobs? I need to know now.
I need to know if you know that 2 + 2 = 4. And if you know that you can only spend 2. Like,
well, someone can know that and...
No. If you're in debt, you don't know that.
It's on sale.
Like, I remember I dated this one chick and she was so hot. And I was like, oh my God, this chick is fire. And then I asked her about debt and she was like, yeah, I'm 35 grand in debt. I was like, oh, did you go to school or something? And she's like, no. And I was like, well, what's the debt from? She's like, you know, just shopping and stuff, clothes, makeup.
There was nothing to show for it.
And I was like, oh my God. And I immediately was turned off and I immediately bounced. I was like, oh, we can't do this because you don't know how to count. So that's number one. Number two, are you okay with being wrong?
But that is also someone's gonna be like, oh my gosh, yes, I'm wrong all the time. And then the first moment that they are wrong, that's when you'll really see the answer to the question.
Yeah, but when was the last time you had a man ask you, are you okay with being wrong?
My current boyfriend asked me that.
Okay, so that's not a common question anybody asks. So you'll immediately know by that person's response to that question.
I said, are you okay being wrong? That, so.
Did you really? Yeah, so that would have told me a big deal about you.
Yeah, for sure.
I mean, with you.
Yeah. Number three, do you want a family? That was one of the first things we talked about. That's a big thing because I didn't want one. So it was like a thing.
And I was a boss bitch. So I was like, same.
Yeah. Who does what in that family? Traditional progressive roles. If you listen to the previous episode, we talk about that. Yeah. That's what I really want to know. And five, what do you believe is the man's responsibility in the marriage?
Ooh, I forgot one.
What? Sorry, Brandon. So sorry. Hey. Back to me. Hi. I think faith, specifics of faith as
okay,
well.
Okay, specifically.
Of like how you would want, not just like, are you Christian, but what kind of Christian? Like some of the big rocks of faith, I think.
Yeah.
I think for me anyway.
What does faith look like to you?
Mm-hmm. What does it look like? What is Jesus? How's your heart? You know?
Yeah.
How's your spirit?
Pause for the song of the dishwasher.
This is fun, though. I love this song.
I realized that asking these questions will show me more about faith than...
Yeah, very possible.
Because we get... one thing we know about the American church is we have all the lingo down. So it's like, I won't really know if you're real quick. But I'll know by how... If you're generous, how you treat the poor, how you treat one another. All right, B?
Your turn.
Sweet. Some of these are same questions that have already been answered. And I'll be honest with you. One thing that I have thinking about these questions is all these questions weren't answered before I got into my marriage.
That's a good point.
And I think also some of these questions are different later on.
Mm-hmm.
Like the questions that I would have asked 7 years ago are different than the questions I'd ask today.
Right.
So if I was getting married like young again, I probably wouldn't need some of these questions answered because I'm like, I don't even know.
But this is the best part about this panel right here is we got, you know, long marriage. Went through two. Marriage.
One.
Yeah, I know.
You're gonna end up on your second.
Yeah, but like, I'm not gonna go through two.
But
marriages.
We're basically giving y'all the cheat code.
Oh my god, thank
you. So these are questions that I think I had a sense, but again, so obviously one would be, what are your love languages? Because that's so important of how you're gonna connect with your partner, in a way that they feel like, I'm actually cared for. Yeah. I'm actually taken care of. I feel loved. I feel cherished. And all those words. Two, what are your conflict styles? This was super important. And I wish I'd have known a little bit better, because it would have saved a little bit of headache when I'm wanting to like talk things out and process things. And Maddie's like, give me 2 weeks. We'll come back to this.
That's a cute little smize too, though.
And I'm like, no, we need to talk this out right now. I don't know what to say.
Okay, I don't let Anne say I don't know.
Oh, and I hate it.
And now I'm kind of like, all right, cool. Because then I know, usually once time passes, if it's really serious, she'll gather thoughts. And if it was something that was trivial, we didn't even need to finish it out. Mm-hmm. It didn't need to be hashed out. Three, what are your expectations for your relationship? What does that look like for you? So some of a little bit what you said, some of a little bit what you said, you too as well.
Thank you.
Because you said traditional, progressive, all that sort of stuff. Four, what does your circle look like? So I think part of that circle also, again, is understanding who they look up to, who would be considered a mentor in their life, who are lifelong friends, who are new friends.
That's good.
Who are people who are acquaintances, who are, you know, all these sorts of, you know, who are the people that you're kind of like really locked in and following from a distance on social media. Like, all these sorts of things are really important, because it gives glimpses into a person, what they admire, what they aspire to be, and then what makes them feel like a better them. You know what I'm saying? Because people aren't following people to feel like trashier versions of themselves.
Right.
So I think that's, to me, all those things encompass what your circle looks like. What does being mature with money look like to you? So again, there's a lot of things. It's obviously, it's debt. It's like, hey, what were the examples set before you? Do you come from a financially literate family?
Yeah.
Like, how are your parents with money? Like, Maddie's parents were great with money. My parents, not so much. So we've really had to learn together, and Maddie teaching me in some things and me researching on my own, what does that look like? And then another question, a bonus one, is what is the toughest thing you've had to overcome, and what got you through? I think this is such an important question, because really, like, as Buddhists would believe, life is a form of suffering, right? So when you're choosing a person to be with, you're really choosing someone, who do you want to suffer with the most in this life? Because life is going to be suffering on some level. So you're really trying to pick someone who you know is going to be there, like who's going to fight. And I think the adversity that someone has gone through in the first half of their life is arguably one of the most important aspects about a person that sets them up for the second half of life, right? Most of us who get married, we're getting married, hopefully, for the long run.
Yeah.
So you're envisioning what this life is going to look like decades from now and what we can build. So people who often go through adversity in that first half of life are set up for a much more successful second half in life. Because adversity, what it does, as Roar would say, is it builds this space or container for your life. And then the fun part of life is in the second half, where you actually get to fill this container.
Yeah.
So to me, it's understanding, like, Maddie has gone through an awful lot. And that's why she is the way she is. And that's why her heart is the kindest, most purest, beautiful angel baby in the entire world. Right? And so I think it was so important, because it's like, oh, you're a fighter. That's all I need to know. Then I know when times get tough in life, in our relationship, you're going to fight, because I know what you've been through. So that's one of those questions that I would ask, is like, what's the toughest thing you've had to overcome, and what got you through? Because it also answers the question of faith too.
It does.
Right? What's the thing that got you through?
If they don't mention, like, if it's just like the theological idea of God.
Yeah.
And it, like, you know, you're like, oh, it was it. It's just, I like that
idea. Ideas about God don't get you through tough times.
They do not get you through tough times, turns out.
Ideas about nothing.
What you were taught doesn't get you through tough times. It doesn't.
A lot of unlearning, deconstructing, if you will, through my divorce about what God was, and then relearning that on the other side, because the Sunday service, like, ideology wasn't necessarily what I found that got me through. It was that personal encounter, my actual actual relationship with God, which had a lot less terminology after my divorce than it did.
You know why? It's because it's not dirty enough. Our religion is not dirty enough.
Do you mean grit?
It's not grimy.
Yeah.
And life is. Mm-hmm. Do you know what I'm saying?
Messy.
Life is messy. It's dirty. It's untenable at times. It doesn't follow any rules. And our religion is neat, nice, full of rules. So when you do the right thing, right? Mm-hmm. Worship leader, mm-hmm. preacher in the church, how the hell can that not work? Mm-hmm. And then you get into the ugly of your life, fucking opened up credit cards in your name, fucking found out that he is whatever. And you know what I'm saying? Find out some stuff that is just dirty. Mm-hmm. And I think, and I'm only calling it dirty because that's what I think an outsider would call dirty. I think somebody in religion would call dirty, but I just call it life. It's normal to me. It's
like
not
the
dirty.
Suffering that Brandon was talking about.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I don't know if we're
setting.
We don't
necessarily have a gospel of suffering in America.
I don't know if it's setting people up to like when I did my arch. Did we do church? I mean, marriage counseling?
A couple.
Even episode. Those conversations, I don't remember them. I don't remember us getting into it.
No, I don't either.
Like, it wasn't like, yo,
but
this
also, we've been married 11 years.
This is what can actually happen. This is what can really happen in your life. I've seen this. Here's how you protect from it. Or if it does happen, here's what you need to do. Because these questions are very, super important. It's an awkward,
I wish we would have done marriage counseling that was not Christian. I feel like it was more.
I don't know if it
would have
been any better.
No, I feel like I wish I would have done marriage counseling that was about communicating in marriage and the nitty gritty and less about the God, the man role in the Bible is this and or whatever it was. Because I don't fully remember what we talked about in our marriage counseling.
Who
I
did
just
we
remember.
Even go to?
It was
the dreadhead guy. Right? Ricky and Deanna's friend?
No.
No?
I don't even know who you're talking about.
I don't even know who I'm talking about. That's what I'm
who did you go to?
That's what I'm trying to tell you. I have no.
Marriage?
I have no recollection of us ever going to
we
a
did
freaking.
Pastor Darlene and Dante.
Oh. Okay.
We
did?
Met with him a couple times. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Yeah.
I don't really remember what we talked about, but I know it was just, Christian church stuff.
Look, it is not bad. It's just give me the balance of the crappy.
It's just part of it.
And the God.
And also, by the way, we did premarital counseling, and the whole idea of that is you have to be honest about stuff.
Yeah.
You can't just talk about this fairy tale idea of so what are our roles? Whatever you want, babe. No, babe, whatever you want. That's not how our finances. Oh my God, I got a little bit of debt, but I'm getting out of it. And I was okay, amazing. I love that. It was a very fairy tale version of it that wasn't actually real. So they always say in therapy, in order for therapy to work, you got to be honest. And so mm-hmm. I think that sometimes it's just about the honesty factor as opposed to the reality of what it's going to look like. But
But in your own life, what has been the most important question? Because to me, the first two things that Deanna told me about Ange was that she loves the Lord and she's out of debt. Those are the two things that even got me in the door.
It's important.
Right? It got me in the door.
Good job, Ange.
Past that, all my questions, there's still the questions that I would ask. Past that was the family one. Because I know that most women want to have kids. And I don't know if I was super anti it. It just wasn't a priority to me. And I didn't know when it would become a priority to me. So I knew that was a really big deal. As far as our roles, that's what I was talking about in the last podcast where I said, hey, I may never make a ton of money. I'm a rapper that's in the Christian industry and
it's a niche.
It's a very, I mean, now there's some people making real money off of it. But when I started, it was just not. We were the bottom of the rung.
How can I make the least amount of money? I'm gonna be a Christian rapper.
It was literally that. So I had to answer all these questions, and they're still important to me today. Now, the one thing, if God forbid anything happened to my queen, and I had to be back out there,
you better preface.
One of the biggest things would be finances, and this order is kind of legit to me. And then, are you okay with being wrong? Because I think that is one of the biggest contentions.
That would be a number one?
That's one of the when you're humble enough to be okay with being wrong, then you're going to be able to get through any conflict. Because I think we both had an inclination for different reasons to want to be right. So she didn't want to be wrong because she was dealing with the trauma of her father and her family. I didn't want to be wrong because I study so much. I'm like, no, I'm the smarter one. Mm. You can't tell me I'm wrong. I'm way smarter than you, right? That was my underlying tone or thought of myself. Mm. Then once I started being wrong in real life, I started realizing, man, this is not a good thing to be. Because there's the only thing that comes with somebody who thinks they're right all the time is an insane amount of pressure to know what's going to come around the corner with whatever life brings you.
Yeah.
And if I make a wrong mistake, then all that I've been storing up, showing her how right I am and how wrong she is, that shit's going to get thrown right in my face and I'm not going to be able to say a single thing.
Yeah.
It like takes the pressure off.
It took all the pressure off of being, you know, and I think a lot of that came through, you know, me letting go of some religious views and opening up my heart to people, you know, namely all of her family, like all the family that are that I dealt with mainly was the gay issue. And when I opened my heart to that, then I started like realizing, oh man, I was wrong in a lot of these feelings and the emotions and I felt like a freedom of like, I don't have to be. And then a lot of times when we argued about what I thought she should do with her career. And then I had to like look at myself one day and be like, but why is she so much more successful than you are? So it's like, she's doing what she thinks is right. Wow. And you're trying to tell her what to do you think is right. But if you just put y'all's career paths next to each other, one person objectively would think whatever she's doing is working. Mm-hmm. Whatever he's doing may not be working. So I had to just like sit back and be like, bruh, shut up. Like talk when spoken to, because you don't know everything.
Yeah,
you may know everything for you because you know how what gets you going, how to best communicate with yourself, what triggers you, what doesn't. You know all that, but you don't know what's best for her life. You just don't.
Right.
And I think once you get into that role where you start feeling like you know what's best for your partner, then that's a dangerous place because I remember the thing that God told me when I was like thinking of marrying her, and he said, I trust her. And I'll never forget it. It was outside my tour bus in South Carolina. And I was like, all right, if you trust her, I trust her. And that's been the one thing that I've held on to. Cause even when we would get into arguments, I wouldn't hit back. I wouldn't get as crazy. I would just be like, I'll get stern. I'll say what I think. And then I'll be like, I'm gonna let you work that out with God. And I always had this insane trust that she is going to make the right decision. And she always has. Always has. From day one with how much we spent on our wedding.
Takes me some time.
Yeah.
But I get
But
that.
Now I don't even feel like, it's so crazy. I don't feel like we deal with you those know, things.
I've been thinking about this because I am so fascinated. I'm going to turn this is a Jesus pivot. Because Jesus
pivot,
is like,
my friend.
I'm
pivot.
Super passionate about him.
I love that.
I really do love him.
I love the guy.
I'm so intrigued.
I like the guy. The myth. I like him.
Dude, the legend, like the God, him. The man. Anyways, so one of my favorite stories in the entire Bible is the temptation of Jesus, because I think it is the most powerful story outside of the baptism of Jesus in the Bible as a whole, because so many levels. The level that I'm gonna hit at right now is the three temptations of Jesus. We know the first one, the devil tempts him. Hey, why don't you turn the stone into bread? And then the second one, it is the temptation, and I wrote this, it is the need to be righteous. This is what every person will be tempted with, is the need to be righteous. It is to have God on your side, to stand on religion, the assurance to be right, which is essentially an ego need.
Yeah.
And this is the temptation that we have all the time. And this is a temptation right here in the Bible that Jesus passes. And I think about that is we have, especially as Christians here in America, we've created this narrative that we are in this sort of culture war and that the entire culture is actively on a daily basis trying to tear down your faith.
Right.
And that is why you have to be right. And that is why you have to defend your faith. Mm-hmm. And this is not the example that Jesus set before us. And so it's kind of ironic that people who claim to follow Jesus don't actually want to follow the way that Jesus lived his life.
Right.
But I think about this, especially in relationships, there is such a need to be right. Like, there is this temptation that you face, same temptation Jesus faced. And instead, he goes the opposite way. Because what ego does is it's always looking to protect the self. Mm-hmm. And the way of the kingdom is repentance. That is to turn away and to completely move in a new direction. Mm-hmm. So ego is always like, I want to protect my needs. I need to be right. I need to not look stupid here. I need to look like I have my shit together. It's all these sorts of things. Me, 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 me. And that's a beautiful opportunity about love or partnership with somebody is that that thing comes to smack that thing right in the face.
Yeah.
And it's like, look, listen, this is not about you protecting you. This is about you repenting, changing your way of thinking to move in a new direction with me together, connected.
Wow.
And that's what to me, like, that's one of the things that I didn't have the verbiage for early on in marriage, but it's something I really have learned to adopt because love fucks up your life. Mm-hmm. In the best way possible. And so that's one of the ways that it's really fucked me up is this is not about you protecting you, Brandon.
Yeah.
This is about you changing your thinking and moving in a new direction.
I love that. I love that marriage is I've been free to be vulnerable. I don't even like being right anymore. I don't like saying it. I'm more scared of it now than ever before because I've just seen how many times I've been wrong and I don't want to
I think that's maybe when you know that you're ready for an honest relationship. And isn't that what people want is like the safe space to be honest and to be okay being honest and to have the permission to be wrong and permission to change your mind? Because I grew up in a culture that very much you could be wrong, but if you were wrong, there were dire consequences. So you had to be right. And it started with my faith. And so I had to know all the things all the time. And then when I was in a marriage where I just was wrong all the time, it was just interesting that I had gone from a world where I just couldn't have that kind of pressure we were just talking about in faith to not be wrong to then being wrong all the time. It's very confusing. And it was only through really good therapy and lots of years and then safe relationships and friendships of this is where the podcast started, right? Like to have these conversations. It wasn't that I really found a beauty in being able to be wrong or just a beauty in starting a conversation and being able to change your mind by the end of it. And that's okay. You don't have to stand on your soapbox. You don't even have to have a soapbox. You can just have a conversation. And I think that for me, the trauma, if you will, on lots of different ways, faith, marriage, all that kind of stuff that I have come out of, for a while, I was confused. I was either just let me be wrong all the time because that took the pressure off, or I have to be right all the time because if I'm not, then one, God will be so sad and like I have to prove I'm wrong because I got told, like I'm right because I got told I was wrong all the time in a marriage. And so I think when he asked me that, like, hey, like, how do you feel about being wrong? And he's like, and by the way, I'm not saying that so that you'll know I'm right all the time. He's like, how do you feel about that? And it opened up this thing of like, oh, I don't know. And then I kind of was able to see my own journey of it and process it. Cause some of these questions, hopefully they don't have an answer straight away. Hopefully some of these, like someone, you saying to someone, can you be wrong? Hopefully that isn't, no, I'm actually really great at being wrong all the time. Like hopefully they do go away with some of them and be like, can I get back to you? I feel like that's a really good sign with someone. And so I think that it depends, like when you're ready to be wrong, not all the time. If you're always wanting to be wrong, that's kind of the trauma I came out of. But when you're like, it's okay to have a conversation and I can change my mind or be wrong or whatever. I think that's actually a really healthy sign.
I always tell people that you'll know the best sign of whether you'll know whether you could be with somebody or not is after your first conflict and how they.
You told me that.
And how they handle it. It's so important because conflict is where most people feel like it's me against you.
Right. Mm-hmm. And that's where you really get the answer to your question.
Oh, yeah. Then you see how they act out. Then you see whatever, like oil and water cannot come from the same place. Whenever her and I would argue, I would, instead of going, saying something I regret, I would always say, nope, I'm not going to, I'm not going to be in a situation where I say something that I'm going to have to come back.
Not me.
If I have to come back and be like, I didn't mean that. I didn't mean that. Then I know. Then I.
I can't tell you how many times I've said I didn't mean that. I'm just kidding. But I've worked on it. Yeah. I've worked on it.
It was that bad at the beginning.
It was. It was. But because that's how I grew up. You hurt me, I'm going to hurt you. Mm-hmm. And you're like, I didn't even mean to hurt you.
Yeah, yours was on purpose and mine was not on purpose. But I to be like, whatever, that's why I'm so proud of where we're at, because it's like, I just can't remember. There'll be times where we annoy each other, but I've said this before and I'll say it again. Most of the time Angela annoys me is because she's not me. And that's ego. She should know this shit. Why do I have to tell her this stuff? And I get so mad at the possibility that, hey, man, maybe she doesn't know. Maybe she just doesn't know. Why are you so upset? Because she's not me. And I just want her to know what I know so that I don't have to, whatever. And I'm like, bruh, that's so ego. That's so ego. Wow. Why would you want another you?
Yeah. That's and so if you did get another you, it would probably be chaotic. Hate it even more.
Right.
It's like, that's why, like, I was thinking about this the other day is obviously anyone who's listened to this pod knows and understands that we've used the Enneagram as a spiritual kind of self-journey, mm-hmm. self-help tool. But most of the married couples that I know aren't the same Enneagram numbers. Like, right. I just took 10 random couples that I know married. None of them are the same Enneagram numbers.
Mm.
Interesting, right? It's because they know, like, deep down, the things we hate about ourselves. Imagine hating those same things in a spouse. Oh my God, that would be terrible.
I cannot marry three.
Oh my God, mm-hmm. That would be a terrible match.
Nope.
If we were another three, you know, striving. Gosh,
2 8s.
This house would be burned down already.
Yeah. So it's interesting because it's almost like we intrinsically know
that I don't want another.
Yeah,
me.
The it's things so are true. The things I already hate about myself that I'm trying on a daily basis to start to embrace and love. I could not have that in someone else.
Right.
Dang.
It's a double dose of crap.
Oh, listen, yeah. It would be terrible.
There was a question that he asked me that was the one that bugged me the most. I didn't put it down there.
What was it?
But he asked me. Oh
my
God.
We're getting somewhere.
Okay. I just remembered it. He asked me, he said, what do you want? Like Ryan Gosling to me, the Notebook style. He was like, what do you want?
What do you want?
What do you want? I made him watch it. Oh my gosh. He loved it. And I was like, what do you mean? I want to get married. And he's like, no. What do you want? He's like, I just don't know if you know what you want. And I was so mad.
I'm annoyed.
I was so mad. And he was like, I'll tell you what I want. And I can't fully remember what he said.
I
want
to
like,
get off the phone right now because you're annoying me.
He said something like, he had like a really great explanation. And I was mad because I didn't have one. And I was like, well, I just want someone. And I said, I want someone to adore me. Right?
There you go.
And he goes, he sits back and he goes, I just don't know if I'm the guy for that. Oh, I know I said the wrong answer. Oh, I didn't mean that. Let me take it back. And it was so funny because I was so mad at him. And I was like, are you kidding me? I was like, I just got out of, like, I was in a marriage where someone didn't adore me. So a couple of days later, I'm driving in the car with Katie. And I was like, can you get this? I was like, so I tell him I want to be adored. And he sits back and is like, I don't know if I'm that guy. And she goes, Yeah. And I go, excuse me? Sorry, what? And she goes, babe, I don't think you want to be adored. She's like, I think maybe you think that, but you don't want to be adored. She was like, what I know about you, you want safety. You need someone to let you be safe. You don't want to have to live up to an adoration that someone has of you. You actually need a real safe space. You need to be loved, yes, but I think you didn't get the right example of someone that would love you. So when someone actually loves you in a healthy way, you don't need adoration. She said, you need safety. And something hit me that I was like, oh my God, I changed my answer. I was like, I changed my answer. Called him straight away and was like, hey, I just want to let you know I'd like to change my answer. I don't need adoration. Good news. I need safety. And he like smiled and he's like, how'd you? So I told him how I come, like that little journey. And he was like, I can do safety. And he's just like really honest about it. But it was this thing that was the one that got me. What do you want? Because I had all of these expectations, all of these impressive things. I can tell him all about my life and the journey I've been through. But when someone asks you, what do you want?
Yeah.
That's such a hard answer. And turns out I don't want to be adored. So.
What does he want?
He told me.
But I forgot?
Yeah, a little bit. You know what I mean? Because my answer was better in the end. Just kidding. I think your answer's great too if you're watching.
Oh my gosh. I really feel like if you are watching this, and
respect, maybe,
writing down these questions, I do think it's so important. I do agree with B in the sense of maybe if you happen to be someone who is who hasn't done the self-work and you're also across from somebody who hasn't done the self-work, these answers may be on the other side of some bad arguments, of some bad whatever. The hope is that you're not married at that point, just in case you get the wrong answer, you can bounce. But if you are married at that point or too far down the road, I think the beauty of human beings is that if you do care about enough about each other enough, that change is easy. I think change is easy. I think change is easy if you acknowledge that that other person that you're with is worth it. I think change is hard if ego is your main priority.
Yeah, I totally get it. I just don't think change is easy in general.
I don't.
It's not that it's easy. It's just more enjoyable if you're doing it with somebody you really like.
But tell me.
Yeah.
And when I say change, bearable. I mean change yourself. Okay, because tell me all of you, because if you disagree with me, tell me what is the hardest part about change?
Change. Pride.
No, what's
habits.
Okay. Pride, habits.
Trauma.
Yeah, like unlearning and then relearning how to do something.
Yeah, so I mean, like, to me, it's like vision is something that gives pain a purpose, right?
Oh, you're so good at saying things.
So, like, change in general is just, it could be painful depending on the degree of the change.
Uh-huh.
So, like, if there's deep personality traits about you that was birthed out of trauma as a kid, this is a mechanism that you use to protect yourself. That's a lot of unlearning and that's a lot of trauma. Now, because you have somebody that you really love that's in front of you that you're wanting to do this thing life with, that's beautiful. It's going to make that change
worth it
and a little bit more enjoyable because you have something on the other end. To me, it's like, yeah, there's some changes, but easy. That's the only thing. And we're getting like all into the nitty gritty of what's easy, what's hard. It's not that I disagree with what you're saying.
Here's what I mean by easy. Okay, so let me define the word easy for me.
Sure.
When I say changing is easy, what that means is I am taking into account the trauma, the past, the hurt, all the things that other people will call it hard for. Like all these things make it hard.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're with someone who you believe is worth the best of you, none of those things are reasons that I would hold on to prevent me from accomplishing that change.
That's money.
I don't think any of it is worth it. So yeah, I can say trauma, I can say, but what I'm giving you are excuses for why I think I need to hold on to these things. But none of these things are positive. They don't do anything for me and they damn sure don't do anything for her. So why do I even want these things as excuses?
Mm-hmm.
I don't even want them for excuses. So when I say it's easy, I mean the choice between Ange getting the man that she deserves and me holding on to all my shit or bringing all my blame or giving her all the reasons for why my change is going to be slow or all the shit that we tell ourselves. You know what I'm saying? Like it's not easy. Well, when you say that, then you prep yourself for a not easy experience. But I never gave myself that option. I said, okay, no matter what, because we got married, I said that my goal is to make you happy. And if you're telling me this makes you unhappy, that shit's gone immediately. And that's just how I look at it. And if it lingers for a little bit, whatever, I shoot it again and then it's gone. Usually it takes like, most of the times it's gone, but then if I have to shoot it twice, it's okay. But I attack it with this fervor of like, there is nothing else more important.
The goal isn't you, it's us.
Because if I think this person is everything, or if I think that they are, that they're trying to make me better, then I attack that change with the, like I am 120, 200%, because I know on the other side of that, not only am I a better me, but I'm a better me for her. And so I just don't think anything that I've been through, any excuse I can come up with is better than the other side of that change.
Yeah.
That's what it means easy to me. Like I can be like, oh, these don't even weigh out. They don't even weigh out. A slower change so that I can hold on to trauma, anger, experiences in the past, or a fucking amazing future with this person once I let go of all this shit. I'm picking the future because the past does not serve me at all.
Yeah. I think that's good in marriage. And like, if you're seriously dating, are you looking towards that? In me, in my head, in my dating headspace, I'm like, if someone was to do that all the time with everything, to me that goes into a little bit of shape shifting. Yeah. But like, this is a very, but just to make that example, but like, that's a, what you're saying is a very understandable, like serious commitment, marriage, lifelong partner thing. That's really cool. To me, I think like just for me, having come out of and aware of how I can shape shift, I think for me, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go back there. So
yeah, but you're talking about two different things.
I am. That's why I'm, but I'm just making the, because what we're talking about is dating.
But even if you were dating, even dating, look.
Would there be anything you wouldn't change in dating that you would change for marriage?
No, because remember the key that I said was.
Trying to make me better.
You can tell when somebody's manipulating
you. Got it. Yep. Can you also, Andrew, would like to know how and what question that would be from the beginning?
For me, like the way I was able to tell that my one girlfriend was manipulating me is because I can see that everything that she was trying to fix in me was really her insecurity and not my issue. Like I didn't have an issue. She just had an issue with me because of her insecurities. And I'm able to see that because I'm just paying attention to her. So when she would get mad at me, and this is trivial, but this is the shit that she would get mad at me about, you know, they would have to point out, just because you dance better doesn't mean that you need to lead this, whatever. Like, just because you're this or you're this doesn't mean this. And I'm like, wait, but she's speaking truth about me. Like, this is not like, I do dance better. I am better at this. I am great at this. She's not celebrating any of those things, and I'm not lording any of these things over her. It'd be different if her argument was, you know, Manny, every time you come into a room, you take it over. Like, you see that I'm teaching dance, and then you tell me to step aside, and then you want to teach it because...
Mansplaining.
Yeah, like, that's different because now you're telling me my... What I think up here now is showing up out here. And I'm belittling
you. So it's that discerning of manipulating an actual someone that you can also recognize this might be an issue... For me, that's deeper than that. You're like, let's change this. Let's go. But there is that difference between someone that just like either wants you to like you changing for someone else's insecurities.
Correct. If you are self-aware,
that's good.
You know when somebody's calling you out on your shit.
Totally.
Like you know, you may fight
it. And that's another. Like, are you ready for that relationship? Have you done that kind of work where you can assess the difference between someone else's insecurities and being self-aware to know, this is on me.
Yeah, because you should know you more than anyone else.
Love that.
And you should know where you like veer off into being like making excuses for yourself. You can cover it with a bunch of crap, but when somebody hits you, like you got angry immediately.
Yeah.
But you knew that there was something about it, which is why you didn't let it go. When this person was trying to say stuff to me, I paused.
Yeah.
I listened. I took it in, but then I was like, no, this is why everybody else celebrates me. And this person is trying to make me less of me. And I'm like, no, she has the problem, not me. And I freaking told her in her face, like, I am better than you.
I remember at
all of these things.
The one person you swore at in front of you.
But I've never held it over you. So, I mean, I think you'll know when somebody's manipulating you because the end of that is not your betterment. Mm. It's their betterment.
And in your current relationship, who is the better dancer?
You are.
Thank you.
You're 100% a better dancer than me. You're better than me in a lot of.
Thank you.
You're better than me at a lot of things.
What do you think is a number one question to ask someone on a first date?
Oh, that's tough. Because I'm kind of a no bullshitter too. I kind of go for that.
Would you ask any of these questions on the first date?
100%.
Okay, well, you're married.
He would be terrible at being in the dating
scene.
No, I would be terrible. I would be terrible for all the people that don't.
Okay, to be fair, the boy that I'm currently is my boyfriend. Oh my gosh, take a shot. He's playing the drinking game. He did ask me a lot of questions up front. So that is where this even episode came from, I guess. So that's kind of like a.
I don't have time. Like, I'm only older. So I don't have time for like the games.
You would be like, what's your finances like? Date one.
I'm not good at bullshit.
Would you?
Yeah.
Hey, what's your credit score real quick? Did you want appetizers?
I don't know if I would. I don't know if I would.
Real quick, are you excellent or?
I don't know if I would state it like that, but I would say something to the line of.
I hope your credit's good.
Hey, like something that's really important to me. Mm-hmm. And this is just an ideology that I've had that I've seen to be true, not only in my friends, but people that I've dated. Is that where your money is, that shows where your maturity is. So if
I like that.
If you don't understand that 4 + 4 = 8 and you think you could spend 10, then that's problematic for me, you know? And I'm not talking about bad debt. I'm not trying to shame anyone that's in debt. That's not the case at all. But this is a big deal with me. Mm-hmm. Especially if I end up on the market, if Ange dies. And I'm out there in these streets.
Hey, are we splitting the check or are you in debt?
Well, because now I got real money and I was broke when I was
you
dating.
You want to get dessert or are you in debt? Are you in debt? Margarita or
nah,
in
everything,
debt?
Everything exempt. Because we all got more to lose now, whether it's financially or whether it's just life lessons. Mm-hmm. Like we've had the scarred road before. And it's like, I don't know why you would want to bullshit or like talk empty or just like, you know, like I want from date one. No, I don't want it to be so serious that we don't have fun, but I just, if we're going to converse, let's talk for real.
Well, I will say this. That was my fear is that when he came out here that we had all these serious conversations, are we going to have fun? Do you remember that day I picked him up from the airport? It's his favorite story. Cause I was so nervous. I accidentally massaged his shoulders while picking him up. It's a dark moment in my life. I don't want to talk about it, but I was so afraid. And yet, we ended up having, once I was like not as nervous anymore, the best time when I went and visited him, the best time, because there was so much out of the way that I actually did feel like I knew him better than other people that I had either dated for longer or known longer because we talked about it. I will say something I'm realizing now is before I married my ex-husband, I was trying to find the answer to these questions in a roundabout way. I still to this day will remember us being in the car very, very early dating, going to lunch, a friend in the back. And he had mentioned something about like, yeah, so because I don't have any debt, blah, 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 blah. And I was like, sick, this guy isn't in debt. That must mean he's good with his finances. No, he just lied about that. And I didn't ask him these tough questions. Therefore, like you have to ask, don't go around it. Like don't try and find that information a different way. Confront. And if you can't confront or like know how to have tough conversations, that's going to be the first thing to do before a relationship. So
you know what, me and Anne's the first when we decided to be serious, like when she was like, when we were like, oh, we're doing it, I asked to see the bank accounts. I want the receipts.
I believe you.
I'll show you mine
if you show me yours.
Yeah, no, I want to see bank accounts.
We did.
Yeah.
I don't remember this.
Yeah, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
he didn't tell you, he just went around you, right? And like found out.
No, I asked to see bank accounts because I'm like, because we had the conversation of
this
sharing.
Is when we're getting engaged.
Yeah, putting them together. Okay.
Before you're engaged?
No, like when we got serious, I asked, yeah, because I knew finances was a big deal. Our thing was so short that it's kind of like.
How long did you guys date for?
Not long. Met in
we
August.
Were married in 9 months.
Yeah, dying. We met in August. We're engaged.
So everything was
Eve.
Quick. So everything was quick. So when I asked to see whatever, it's because I just wanted to know, like,
you know, what
was
with,
what
I
was
all
up? But
agree,
at this point, we were full steam
it wasn't
ahead.
First date, yeah.
Yeah, we were full. No, we okay, already. By the way, the ring wasn't there, but we were full steam ahead. There was no going back. Totally. Neither of us was. We were like,
no one was looking to break up. Yeah,
we were in it, and this was important to me. So, I wanted to know what I was working with, and it was awesome. Like I didn't really care. It didn't make me think of anything more, except for it did make me think she's amazing with her money. Mm-hmm. Because she has
more
this
respect.
Nice condo, mm-hmm. She has this nice house, and she still has
and
this
that
money in the bank.
Over into other areas.
I'm
discipline.
Like,
mm-hmm.
So she knows. She knows
and
what
you're
she
amazing.
Needs and what she doesn't
but
need.
Also, she drank soda at the time and ate hot Cheetos, and he was not having that.
And I also, yeah.
And I got rid of the soda, kept the hot Cheetos.
Nice.
That's where I draw the line.
Solid trade.
And I was also, you know, at
it's
that
called
point,
compromise.
Still
look
shopping
it up.
At still shopping at Ross and TJ Maxx. But, well, I still do that. But yeah. I was shopping
well,
for
you
my
came back.
I was shopping my main stuff, Ross and TJ Maxx.
Wait, so I have a question because you wanted to look at her finances. Was that a big deal for you with his finances? Because he was, you know,
it,
being a Christian rapper.
I don't think
rapper.
It was because mm-hmm. she had finances, so she wasn't really concerned.
Because you were living within your means, right?
I was straight.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter how much you have. It's about are you living within your means.
I mean, don't get me wrong. I still have six figures.
I remember hearing his stories about how he paid off his school debt, making animal balloons, and like,
oh yeah, I love that one.
How he like worked really hard, mm-hmm. and he was not lazy.
He had a really good work ethic. That's good.
He had a really good work ethic and follow through. Because like I think of my friend's ex-husband who
mine?
Like every other week he wanted to start a new business.
Oh my God.
And it was like now he makes t-shirts. Now he does this. And it was like, oh my God. Like mm-hmm. I can't, how do you get behind that and support that? Like he can't just like stick to one thing and like be great at it. Mm-hmm. He's like on to the next, bouncing to the next and the next. But I saw what this guy was doing. And even though he wasn't making lots of money, he was still successful, meaning he was good at what he was doing. And he wasn't like we had talked about, like if I was terrible at stand up and I wanted to be a stand up, then he'd be like, oh, I can't get down with that. If I hated his music, I was like, oh, this is not good. No, then oh probably gosh. Wouldn't get down with that.
Yeah.
But I saw he was very talented. He was a leader. He paid off his debt. He was very smart. He was very communicative, helped me learn to communicate my feelings. I remember him helping me with the situation with my sister at the time and gave me like words to say to actually articulate my feelings. And I remember being very like, huh, that's interesting. So I think at the time I trusted that even though he didn't have a lot of money, that he was good with it and I didn't need him to have a lot of money.
I was never, when it came to dating, I was never one of those dudes that was like, oh man, I don't have money. Because I was so confident in how well I love people that I knew, I was like, ah, oh, just hang out with me. You're going to be fine. Because I'm going to figure out a way to love you successfully. Like I will. And if your dad tries to grill me on money, I trust me, just give me a conversation with him. Mm-hmm. He will hear the God in me. And he will trust the God in me that wherever this little boy's going in his life, he's gonna be good. Trust. And that was just like the supreme confidence I had.
Wow.
Even when I communicated.
I love that. It kind of goes back to your question, B, of like, what's the hardest thing you've been through and how'd you get through? Because it shows you something deeper than just a bank account. And a bank account can speak to something, but what speaks louder is that underneath, like, what's underneath that? How do you manage what you have? Like, what got you through the toughest time in your life?
Yeah, because you're speaking to the spirit of the person.
Yeah, it's not, did your family have money?
Which is, it's obviously, it's deeper than the actions of a person. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Love that.
I hope you guys wrote these questions down. And if not, hit us up. We'll send you the questions. Even more so, like, send some stories. I'd love to hear. I think we all would. We
add your questions, too, in the YouTube comments section.
Add the questions?
No, like, telling listeners if you have questions that we didn't talk about.
That you ask before you get serious or that you wish you asked.
That would be great. Yeah.
Let's start a conversation.
We'd love to hear these things. Yeah.
Let's sit around a table.
Do it and then share this with somebody. I'm sure somebody that's listening has somebody else in their life who's at this point that needs to hear this episode. So please share it. Hopefully they listen. It's not your job for them to listen, but it's your job to share it. So, and we appreciate it. We love you so much. And like we say, we pray you find a seat at the table. But if you don't, you are always welcome at ours.
Cheers.